You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're all geared up and ready to get back out into the community now that we're in level one, so it seems pertinent to talk about one part of our communities that often gets uncelebrated, and that is the library. Last month's budget announcement had a lot going on. The $50 billion recovery budget has been touted as the biggest in New Zealand's history, so you'd be forgiven for not taking it all in. One of the lesser recognised aspects of this budget was a $60 million funding boost for our libraries. Internal Affairs Minister Tracy Martin said the boost would allow librarians to play a greater role in their communities, particularly as people begin seeking jobs following the fallout from COVID-19. That funding boost acknowledges a vital secondary function that libraries serve, well beyond loaning books and just how many hats librarians wear. To look at just how important library workers have been in recent months, we definitely have to talk about the lockdown. Back in April, the Auckland Council made the decision to redeploy some of their staff to assist the city's more vulnerable residents during the lockdown. That involved more than 50 library staff members making as many as 15,000 welfare calls to elderly people living alone. Even outside of lockdown conditions, library workers are constantly providing support for older people, whether that's emotional support, such as the previous example, or technical. Here is the reading engagement specialist for Auckland Library, Alison Fitzpatrick, talking to RNZ about just that.
And even if you just need to ask us, look, how do I get on the Wi-Fi? Can you help me with that? You know, there's no question that's too small for us.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. And the other sort of stuff we have, apart from our physical collection of books, we've got great e-books and e-audio. There's a lot of motivational and career-type material on those. We've got access to Press Reader, which is the collection of world newspapers.
Press Reader.
And then we've got e-magazines. We've got academic journals.
And books as well.
And books, yeah. Yeah.
At the end of that clip, Alison spoke about some of the various forms of media that the library deals in, and this gives me a lovely segue into the topic of accessibility. Audiobooks and e-magazines are a couple of the examples she gave, and for a lot of people, these forms of reading are very important. For elderly people with poor eyesight, it's especially difficult to read a conventional book. Being able to adjust text size on an e-reader, or even better, pop in some headphones and have somebody else do the work for you, can be a complete game changer. Just ask my granddad, who is at least partially responsible for my looking into this topic. Another factor in accessibility is the notion of digital exclusion. Digital exclusion, if you haven't heard of it, is essentially the idea that as more government agencies move to digital means of interaction, being websites or even just email, it becomes harder for certain people to actually participate within society in the same way that they used to. This isn't some sort of old people problem either. Earlier this year, the Citizens Advice Bureau published a report on digital exclusion and actually found that it affected everybody relatively equally, with ages 30 to 80 being pretty much consistent. For some people, this is an accessibility issue, those without internet or with limited access to computers. But for others, it's a matter of confidence. At the end of the day, not everybody wants to use a computer, and some people just don't feel comfortable doing it. To be fair, computers do give a fair bit more room for error than a printed document in a face-to-face chat. That same report also found that Māori and Pacifica peoples were disproportionately affected by digital exclusion, making 37% of cases, while only being about 25% of the national population. Part of the budget's funding boost for libraries is an effort to mitigate this issue, ensuring that every library in the country has free internet access, while librarians can tackle issues of confidence with digital media. One crucial area where we can see this happening right now is in job seeking. With unemployment at an unfortunate high point, librarians have found themselves taking on the role of supporting the job-seeking process. This isn't exactly a new role, though, but it is one that has found a new level of importance with the way things are right now, as Alison Fitzpatrick told RNZ.
We've always done this sort of thing for people. We've always had a lot of great resources. But when we realised that things were getting really tough and seeing, you know, what challenging times we're living in, we realised it was a good chance to highlight the resources and the collections and services that we have.
Those services include things like access to online courses about writing CVs and applying for jobs, or librarians pointing people in the right direction to get more serious support. In this sense, libraries are very much doing what they've always done, giving people access to information, but now more than ever, that information is increasingly community and people-oriented. Libraries continue to evolve the ways in which they function as a public service, and the recent investment by the government appears to be acknowledging that effort. Libraries almost feel as though they're being redefined. Even when, for some, books fall out of fashion, the need for accessible information certainly won't, and it looks as though libraries won't either. Thank you to RNZ and Alison Fitzpatrick for that interview that I very gratefully ripped off, and I'll hand the reins back to Brooke.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.